The following is brought to you in part by MFC Studios. The views and opinions of the show's hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect those of the owners, management, or staff of WGBB. And now, it came from the radio.
Hello and welcome to It Came From the Radio. This is your host, Martora, speaking. With me in the studio, I have nobody else but our special guest, so I'm going to have to introduce him right off the bat. It is special, awesome author, Jim Riley. Say hi, Jim.
Hello there.
And of course, we'll never forget Trevor, the preacher man. He's in the booth, you know, not to be forgotten. I'm sure our very own Hassan Godwin will be walking in gingerly as he's probably listening to us as he's racing down the southern state right now. And our very own Charlie Saladino should be following in tow. If anybody has any trouble listening to the air, you can go online to www.am1240wgbb and listen to us on a live audio streaming. Also on the GBB website, you can see us on the high-definition web camera, which I'm waving to right now. And this is only for people who are watching us in the present, because if you're listening to us on archive, it'll be in the future for you guys, but past for us, so you can't go onto the website and see us, because then you'll be watching some other show. And the phone number here is area code 631-888-8811. As always, we're going to be taking away with the news. This is a very difficult news this week, because as I was editing my news, as I pull it through various internet sources, I save it onto a little file, and then I go and I edit it. As I was editing it, the computer crashed, so I lost everything I had edited, and there was no time to edit it, to re-edit. Is that the right term, to re-edit?
Mm-hmm.
And I actually have the unedited version, which is a lot of words here. So I'm going to have to use my very bad memory to remember what I did pull out of this information, and we'll take it from there. So let's see. I'll start with, we'll go with the sad news, as we were told to start with the sad news, because you can't go anywhere but up from there. No deaths this week, as far as I know, although I'm sure somebody out there has died somewhere. But and each death is significant in its own way. I better preface that with, but no deaths to report on the show. So we're going to go with what's going on with poor Kevin Clash. For those of you who were listening to our show a couple weeks ago, we mentioned that Kevin Clash, who's the puppeteer, the former puppeteer and voice of Elmo, he was being sued for sexual harassment claims for mm-hmm. for an underage boy. And then he quit the show, and of course the company was like, you know, Elmo is still keep on going, and they always have understudies to take up for the mantle, just like if a person died, such as the guy who played Count Von Count. He died recently, and they're going to have a new guy take over then, and Jim Henson died with Kermit the Frog. But it turns out that now Kevin Clash is being sued by a fourth.
Ooh.
Fourth accuser now. So we're not even, we're at the four now. And he also says that he had underage sex with him. It's another male. The lawsuit filed on Monday claims that he met the plaintiff in Miami in late 1985 or 86, where the plaintiff was the age of 16 or 17. And then, as it says here, he befriended the plaintiff, who had been contemplating running away from home. And then Kevin Clash called him from New York, offering him a plane ticket, money, and a free place to stay. So that way, the boy could be like a dad. The boy could be like a son to Kevin Clash. The suit also says that he took up the offer, and he stayed with him for about 4 days. And they had, quote, sexual contact on multiple occasions. So yeah, that's what's going on with that. And we have our very own Hassan Godwin walking gingerly in, but I believe his mic isn't working. Is Hassan's mic working? And Hassan says his mic is not working, so he's going to be gingerly walking out. Hey, Trevor! Hassan's mic isn't working. If you can turn it on, thank you very much. There you go. Hey, we're live. There we go. All right, so so he's now being accused for a fourth underage sexual encounter. Is that? There you go.
So, I apologize, but what the heck are you talking about?
Well, you must have missed it. Kevin Clash, Elmo, was being.
Yes. All right,
he's
I know that's
number four now. His fourth.
Really?
This one was number four.
Okay, now he's guilty. Four times the guilty.
Well, let's,
four times the guilty.
I do.
Guilty.
I do distinctly guilty. Remember that you said that.
Guilty. I said he was guilty?
No, the first time you said that, you know, if it wasn't that the guy wasn't suing for money, then maybe, but he was suing for money.
Oh, that gave the benefit of the doubt?
Right.
That's not me.
Doubt.
That's I did not.
And now here we are with number four, and now you're just he's done.
Because I think he quit, didn't he? Quit.
He did quit.
He quit immediately.
Well, that's what you're supposed to do. If you're,
I don't know if that's what you're supposed to do. I don't really. I don't sexually harass people or you know whatever. So I don't actually know what the proper protocol is at that particular point. But I know the patterns. I know what goes on. So probably he quit in order to avoid the scandal becoming larger, and the scandals never listen. The scandals always become as big as they want to become as it goes along. So no matter what you do, it's always gonna snowball.
Yeah, but you know he is the voice of Elmo, and then the parents
that makes it worse though. That's because he was
so
yeah.
That's why he would step down, which makes sense until it's all resolved.
It's not going to be. There's no resolve. There's no resolution.
Unfortunately,
you'd never be the voice of Elmo again when you're accused of what he was accused of.
Yeah, and the sad thing is that true or false. The accusation is bad enough, and this is...
Yeah, and that's the problem with those accusations is that they tend to ruin careers, but you can't really put the genie back in the bottle at that point.
I'm reminded...
People tend to forget that people like Captain Kangaroo and all this, they're actual human beings, you know? They're just doing a role, but they put them on this particular pedestal because they're childhood icons, and you know they're supposed to be above reproach. But in order for them to be above reproach, they can't do anything reproachable. And when it's discovered that they do that, they plummet. You know, it's not not really given the benefit of the doubt. So it's unfortunate, but
very very sad.
But now you're saying that other cases are coming to light.
They're up to four.
That's no good. You're not going to fix that. There's no fixing. That's a scandal now.
Yeah, once you get past two, I think.
Once you get past one, but you know when it starts to snowball and become a bigger thing, it's a scandal.
Yeah. All right. Fine. So.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Just agree with me. I don't know why you fight. Why fight?
This will be resolved positively. On reflecting.
One can only hope. I'll use my hopes for other things, but you know we'll imagine.
Hoping
that,
about that meteor, is that what it is?
Huh? Yes, I hope the world doesn't end next Friday. I'm gonna use my hope for that.
Speaking of which,
look at that
on the news.
Perfect.
There is a meteor that is behind the Earth right now.
Yeah,
that's supposed to be the closest it's ever been in the history of history. Even though it's still, you know, millions of miles away.
Yeah, it's 4 million something miles away.
We are now being followed by a giant meteor that if for any reason...
If we hit the brakes, if we just slow down a little bit,
yeah,
the brake lights come on, if we tap on the brakes, it's going to slam right into us. You know, how big is it? Is that a follow-up?
Yes, no follow-up question. Especially without my correct news in front of me.
Yeah. If it's a couple of meters, it's not a problem. It has to be 6 miles wide.
Maybe it was six miles. Meters or miles.
It will not destroy the world if it's under 6 miles. I think maybe 4 or 5 miles, they still probably do some serious damage. But if it's like a couple of meters, which it'll be, it's not even, it can't be. It has to be bigger than that.
It's huge because it has its own orbit.
Yeah, well then. Yeah, then big. that's trouble.
It's big. And
that's trouble. It's got a guy at the helm, then we're then it's trouble.
And there was a model on animated computer animated model on the Hubble website, and it shows that it's just going around and it has its own thing, and then all of a sudden it just starts following us for a little bit, and then it's supposed to be right behind us, coming the closest now today on a 12-12.
12-12-12.
Yeah, and then it's gonna veer off.
We hope.
But, you know.
Or it might just spin around and slam into us next Friday.
It might be, the Mayans maybe weren't as accurate as they'd be. Maybe they had, dyslexia, and instead of 12-21, they were 12-12.
No, because it would have happened already. 12-12 is almost
right,
over.
That was, yeah. not including leap year.
If it's 12-13, it just knocked us for a loop. Like, whoops.
They were off by a day.
Yeah, we let his cousin do the math, and he's never really that good at it. But we were right about the year.
What's the doctor joke? I got good news and bad news. What was it? You have 5 hours to live, but I found out about that 4 hours ago. All right, so moving along. Let's see. Oh, I guess this also qualifies as sad news.
Thought I missed the sad
the
news.
The second season of Dallas, well, which would be technically the 12th season of Dallas, because
it's a continuation. Is it just Dallas? Is not Dallas the Next Generation? Or
no, it's just Dallas. It's just
Hot Dallas Nights.
They even play the same thing song, Dallas, the same way.
Really?
Yeah. And the revival starts, the second season begins, 12th season begins in January. And the network has officially announced that it will have a funeral episode for Larry Hagman's character, J.R. Ewing, somewhere in the 15 episodes that was ordered. But since he died while they were actually filming, they don't know where they're going to put it in, and they have no idea how they're going to kill him off. But he will be dead on the show, and they will have a funeral.
They're going to try to press on, push on. Yeah. Is anybody else from the old show in that show?
Yeah,
Bobby.
Bobby is in there.
Really?
Patrick Duffy's in there. Sue Ellen is in there. If I'm
really?
Yeah. So they actually got a couple old casts. And if I'm not mistaken, they even brought back.
Are the Ewings still rich? They're still oil barons.
He's still trying to take it over, but it's about their kids now, trying to be just as bad and sneaky and backstabby as the rest of them.
Aye.
And they even brought back, from what I understand, they brought back Ted Shackelford and Joan Van Ark.
I had no idea.
Who was the grounds for the spinoff of Knots Landing. That was why they went off to go on Knots Landing.
No clue.
I was a fan of Knots Landing.
Nope.
But it's still people from the original show.
I was too young to be able to watch that show. They sent me to bed. My mom was a better mom than yours.
Man.
My mom cared about my development, Mark. Unlike you. Yeah, just watch it. Watch Bigfoot too.
Is that what it
watch
was?
In search of. I couldn't watch any of those shows. I used to get creeped out too easily.
You know, I remember when I was a kid, I watched anything. I watched Friday the 13th.
That's what I'm saying.
Exorcist.
My mom was a better mom. My mom wouldn't let me watch because she didn't want to. She wouldn't want. She didn't want to be up at 4 o'clock in the morning while I was sitting in my bed screaming.
But that's the thing. When I was a kid. For some reason, either it was explained to me early on, but I always knew that it was faked. I knew that it was,
It doesn't matter if it was fake. I knew it was fake, too. I wasn't an idiot.
Actor and stuff.
What am I, a jerk? I knew that these actors aren't really getting killed by this axe. It just, it's still, the imagery was horrific. So I had better imagination than you do. I'm just better than you in every way.
Yes.
Keep going with the news.
So from the disc of Tom Godwin.
So I'm just better than Mark. And I had a better mom.
All right. My arch enemy.
Which one?
Shia LaBeouf.
Oh, okay.
Shia LaBeouf.
All right.
Has decided that he wants to leave the film world and leave the comic book world because that was what he was doing, and go on to Broadway. So he's actually coming to New York. So if anything happens to him, it was not me. I want to put that out there right now.
Wait, you won't be there anyway because isn't New York your enemy also?
New York is
the entire city of New York is your enemy.
Yes.
And the police.
Manhattan.
So Shia, the police, and New York are all going to be in one place. The cold is your enemy also.
Cold is my enemy. Circumstances.
Circumstances.
Circumstances
are your enemy.
Yeah.
Circumstances is kind of broad. That's kind of, you got a
lot of enemies. It's just a big.
Yeah, because
big
you've decided to lump circumstances in your list of enemies, which could be anything. But like, okay, take it. Let's just be a little provincial about it. So New York.
The cops.
Shia LaBeouf. And winter and cold.
Cold.
It's all happening in one place.
Yes.
So if you nuke New York.
So a cold
during
a cold
before
day
before
in winter, cold
before
winter
March.
Yeah,
you will have taken out four of your very. Of your top enemies.
But circumstances would put me in Manhattan when it happened.
You're not going to be circumstances. You're an idiot for having circumstances be your enemies. Because circumstances can be good. There could be good circumstances.
No, I don't know about those.
Well,
maybe,
you
maybe
should
be my friend.
That's because you got to open your mind a little bit.
But Shia LaBeouf is going to be in Manhattan.
So, yeah, because he's made all his Transformers money. So why not? Yeah.
Starring in a Broadway play, which was premiered in 1980.
So he doesn't want to do films anymore at all?
I don't know. But right now, this is what he wants to do. He's going to be in a Broadway play called Orphans, opposite of Alec Baldwin, which is about a story of two orphan brothers living in a decrepit Philadelphia row house decided to kidnap a wealthy man.
All right.
That's what it's about.
That sounds complex enough to be a play, I guess.
It kind of reminds me of Suicide Kings.
No? Yeah.
Except that they were rich in Suicide Kings.
Ish. Yeah.
You know, kidnapped the guy. But I always thought that would have been a great play, Suicide Kings.
Okay.
Just random.
That's an interesting thought.
So good for him and people who love Shia LaBeouf.
I actually like Shia. I liked him in Wall Street. I think he did a good job in that sequel. I don't know about that. I didn't like the Transformers, period. I didn't mind him in Indiana Jones, but I know that's going to get me stabbed in the parking lot by some errant fan who hated Indiana Jones in general. But I thought he was... I don't mind Shia LaBeouf.
Well, that's why he's my arch enemy.
Yeah.
Yours.
I guess so.
So you're going to go see this?
No, probably not.
Oh, all right. Okay.
I don't mind him. That doesn't mean I like him.
Okay.
So I'll go running to see a Broadway play with him in it.
Yeah.
It's probably going to be like $300 or $400 a ticket.
Yeah.
No. Okay.
And finally, according to the paper I have, although I do distinctly remember having at least two more news items.
What happened?
Remember,
did you eat them?
So you missed
it. Were
you
very hungry?
My computer crashed while I was editing it, so it went bloop. It was gone. I didn't have time to re-edit it.
Your
so
computer, the new computer you bought crashed.
So I have the unedited news in front of me.
How did the new computer you just bought crash? What did you do?
I don't know.
What did you do?
I don't know.
YouTube. Viruses off of YouTube.
All right. For those of you fans of the game Angry Birds, there is going to be a 52-episode animated series of said product. And, drum roll please.
Nah.
There's going to be in 2016, because we have to promote stuff so far ahead in the future. Yeah.
Why are we? Okay.
There's going to be an Angry Birds movie. Live action movie, from what we're told.
It's not even 2013 yet, so why can't they just crank that out a little faster?
They're already saying stuff that's gonna happen in 2015, so they gotta up the ante and say what's gonna happen in 2016. Because as we remember,
why? Obviously, this is provisional. Because they'd be doing it right now. So apparently it's provided the 52 episodes.
No, the 52 episodes is going to be airing soon.
Yeah.
But the movie.
But maybe that movie's not going to happen if the 52 episodes are not well received.
That's
a Tron situation. Although the television show has been well received, so they're going to go ahead with the third sequel.
Right.
But it was contingent on however well the television show did. Yeah. So maybe the 52-episode Angry Birds is a precursor to the movie to see if there's actually an audience for it. Because Angry Birds is not the number one game anymore. It had its day, but it's now taking its seat on the shelf of other things that used to be the number one pastime that are now no longer.
Because of the ADD that we have.
I don't know. I never played Angry Birds, but I know it was really popular at one point, and then I stopped hearing about it. So
I actually, once again, since I am off the grid, whenever I find out about something, I'm like, oh, this must be big. So I heard about it, way later, because I started seeing Angry Birds t-shirts, Angry Birds cereal.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm
Angry
saying.
Angry Birds.
When's the last Angry Birds
gummy
anything
bird,
you've
gummy
seen?
Bears. I see it every day.
Oh,
Angry Birds gummy bears.
I haven't seen it anymore.
In my face. I'm like, all right. So
gummy
guess,
bears. Well, why? Because the theater's selling up? Come on. I'm talking about like out there, like as part of the...
The pop culture.
Yes, part of the...
But I'm not in the
kids wearing Angry Birds t-shirts.
I don't see kids on a regular basis.
What do you even... You're the one who brought it up.
I'm just saying that
you can't slam the door on it now.
I'm
just
so far outside.
Fine, it had nothing to do with you. Nothing to do with you. But I'm down in Union Square every day. I don't see any Angry Birds. Anything.
What are you saying now?
I don't know. But no more Angry Birds. I know Angry Birds enough to know that's not happening as often as it used to happen. I used to see Angry Birds all the time, and I'd be like, "What the heck is an Angry Bird?"
No.
You get pooped on when you get Angry Birds. That's all I know about Angry Birds.
I know there's a red one.
Sure.
I know there's a red one.
There's got to be.
And there's pigs involved. I know
there's,
that.
There are pigs in the Angry Birds mythology.
Yeah, that I know.
Okay.
That's all I know. All
right.
Do you know anything about Angry Birds?
I think my son plays that game.
Oh, there you go.
That's as far as...
It's a red bird.
That's as far as I know.
It's a red bird, a pig, and Jim Riley's son plays.
That's all we know. Does he still play it?
I'm not sure what games he plays. He plays so many games.
All right, then. So there you have it. Angry Birds movie coming out.
Yay, Angry Birds
2016.
Movie. Yeah, I can't wait. Oh, my goodness.
Because
baited anticipation.
I've been paying attention, but the big fight.
I haven't been paying attention to anything.
Is the big news in the blogosphere, as they like to call it, is the showdown between the Justice League movie that hasn't even started to be made.
And Avengers 2.
Avengers 2, which is going to happen in 2015.
Why is it a showdown? Why is it, what's the showdown?
That's
why is
what,
it a showdown?
Just like it was the Dark Knight was going to be the showdown against.
It wasn't though. It's completely a waste of time. First of all, look, the Justice League is not going to be anything near the Avengers, or not going to be anything near the phenomenon of the Avengers, simply because it's a copy. It's copying the format, so it's not going to surpass it because it's already lost its authenticity in being a carbon copy. So it's not. Let's just say it right now. I'll go on record. Say you're out of it. I'll just say just from
Views
my desk. Yes,
that way,
it's not. So just everybody, just calm down. It's just like the Superman thing. The Superman trailer comes out, and people are like, oh my God, I didn't see anything. Nothing happened. Why is Superman so dark? Why is everything? It's terrible. It's gonna be terrible.
And then the next one comes out.
It's 3.5 minutes of flash imagery. How can you have any opinion of it whatsoever? You know,
yet they do, because the second trailer, everybody's now saying that we love Superman. It's the greatest thing since sliced ham.
That's what I'm talking about. The second trailer. I was like, all I've been reading recently is like, oh, I haven't seen anything. It doesn't do anything for me.
Really?
It doesn't. Yeah, it doesn't change
the first one.
And the same thing with the Star Trek trailer that just came out. It's like, well, I don't know what's going on. People, well, clearly it's Khan because it's clear. It's like, you can't clearly anything. It's 3 minutes of incoherent imagery that has no sequential value whatsoever, other than it's supposed to inspire an ooh and an ah. All right. Look, I love trailers. I have my own opinion about what each movie is going to be like from my own assessment of knowledge of what went into them when they're coming together. So, and I will keep it to myself whether I think it's going to be good or bad, but until such time as it, you know,
it's good or bad.
It was to such time as I get to rant and rave about whatever I think it's good or bad. But it's not going to happen. I need this vitriol about the trailers to stop, because look, first of all, we're going to have to wait 6 months for either one of them. Just calm down. Keep calm. There's stuff right now we can hate. There's stuff going on right this minute that we can hate.
But
there's
hated
no
that
need
already.
To hate things.
We hated that already 5 months ago.
No.
That's the problem.
No. Hate.
That's old.
But learn to hate the now. Don't hate the future. Hate the now. You can also hate the past. We have two things we can hate. And we're all trying to clamor to get that one thing we're not supposed to be hating yet, because we don't have any knowledge. Yeah, you can't hate the future. You don't know what it is. You don't know what's going to happen. We might not even see them, because the world might end. next week.
And that's the other
thing. Hate that. Hate the fact that the world's going to end.
That the Earth might just.
Yes. And then a six mile meteor that's following us, which should be concerning to everyone more so than Superman, who doesn't exist, because if he could, he'd go out and move the stupid rock in the first place. So that's what you need to hate. Don't hate Superman. It hasn't happened yet.
We've done many shows about this topic. It's what the trend is. We have to
I know that's a trend, and nothing I say now is going to change anything, and everything's going to go along the way it goes until it becomes too much, and then it explodes in our faces as usual. That's just the modus operandi of everything that happens. However, look, just try to hate the now. It's cold out. I hate that it's cold. Yeah.
My arch enemy.
And maybe my car won't start, or I don't have a parking spot when I get back. I get that to hate. It's there's nothing to do with Superman. Leave it alone.
That's your advice?
Be happy that someone's like, hey, here's a trailer of something cool that might be coming in a couple of months that maybe, you know, take your mind off how crappy your life is. You know, hey, we made a movie. We'd like you to come see our movie. It's completely innocent. I mean, it's a scam to get your money. You know, pay us for the work that we did.
Don't steal it.
But it's honest. It's an honest trade. We did this. We created Celluloid Fantasy. You pay us to watch it. Hey, we're still making these things that you can like or hate. If you want to hate, be excited about being able to hate it when it comes out. But don't hate it now. You're wasting your hate. It's a waste of hate.
All right.
It's a waste of hate.
So
don't waste your hate.
We're not going to hate our commercial break.
So I love the commercial break.
We'll be right back with the Game Fun Radio.
Hi, this is Amory. You've heard my voice open and close the show. Now we want to hear your voice. If you have a business or product, you can record a commercial here. We offer 30 and 60 second spots. For more information, contact Mark at MFC_studios@hotmail.com. And now, here's some music. Was hot. Now back to our show.
And we're back where we came from.
Whatever.
This is your host Mark Torres speaking with the punctual Hassan Godwin.
Not really. If anyone who's listening was here when I walked in.
But
I had my rant.
Airtime perfectly, so that way it would end. I didn't think he was gonna make it.
Yeah, and all you guys at home missed out on my rant. Oh well.
But you could have seen him going. Arr, arr, arr,
yeah, arr. If I spoke with my hands, then you could have seen that. But I didn't do that.
So this week, as I mentioned,
we have a guest.
Top of the show, we have an awesome guest. Super awesome.
I'm sorry. Yes. I didn't realize he was awesome, but now I know he's awesome.
Well, you can feel the presence.
I do feel the presence. I did. I felt it outside.
Really?
Yes.
No, that's the ghost.
I'm sorry.
It is Jim Riley, who is an author. And what did you author of?
Well, thanks for having me on the show. I appreciate it. I'm the author of sci-fi book Evolution.
Okay. So... Before I even mention what we're going to talk about, evolution, let's just mention that he was supposed to be a guest during the hurricane, and we didn't have a show, so he now has the title of being having the best excuse for not being on the show ever. Because there was just no show.
Because it was a hurricane.
Yeah, we had one guy, he was working on the docks, and it was a dock fire, and he couldn't be on the show. It was one guy, we had a blackout, but there was just no show. So
That's good enough excuse.
Mention that. That's why
that's not even his fault. Because if he was available, he wouldn't have been on it anyway.
I was ready to get in my car.
He was. So what are we evolving? What are we evolutioning?
Okay, one of the main characters, James Connor, an anthropologist, discovers an alien craft buried along with the remains of early human ancestors during a dig in Ethiopia, and accidentally triggers a transmission that sets in motion a chain of events that not only would pit man versus an advanced alien civilization, but would also pit the religious community against scientists. You see, the possibility of alien influence in human development has some questioning their religious beliefs and has others fighting to protect their beliefs against those that they perceive as the enemy, the scientists, who discredit those beliefs. James is one of those scientists. However, James must rethink his actions and will need to evolve to be able to help defeat the aliens' plan for man and the universe.
And he didn't read that off at all. He had that memorized. It was perfectly memorized.
Perfectly memorized.
So let's always go what I like to find out, to pick your brain. Where did you come up with this idea? What did you decide? Alien, scientist, is this a classic thing that is this from your childhood coming up, or is this something you just came along from just one day? Hey, maybe I should write about this.
I grew up watching Star Trek and Babylon 5 and Twilight Zone. And I was always fascinated with life that could be out there in the universe. I think as a kid, I watched Chariots of the Gods.
Chariots? I don't remember that.
That's
one.
Eric Von Daniken. He's also on Ancient Aliens.
Okay.
He had the show that he would – they would have I guess pyramids or the Nazca lines, okay, where they would assume that possibly the aliens had built them, or at least helped the natives in the area.
It was like In Search Of. It was like a Discovery show, each week that they went tried to debunk either certain mythological rumors or establish them, something like that.
So you're watching this stuff as a kid. And then you're like, I think aliens are real, or is it just, I think I should write about that aliens are real?
Well, I've been watching all those movies over the years, and a few years ago, I went back to school. I went and got my bachelor's degree, and then I got a master's degree, and immediately I was laid off. And my wife saw that I was applying for many jobs online and mailing in resumes, thought that maybe now's the time I should write that book we always joked about.
Hmm.
And so I did.
So as they always say, behind every great man is a great woman pushing him along.
Yes.
Do you think that...
explains everything about me.
Do you think that this opportunity would not have happened if under those circumstances?
Yes. Probably wouldn't have happened. I think that being out of work, and it was a time when many people were out of work in 2009. Yeah. There was 14% unemployment.
A Holocaust.
Oh,
basically.
Man, it was very tough to find work, and so I had some time on my hands.
So with that time, how are you able to structure yourself to make, I guess, make it a job when you really don't have any boundaries? You have complete free reign. How do you put yourself in the right mindset to write a novel?
I had some ideas that I wanted to put down on paper. One day I was just out running on a track, and I came up with this idea of time travel, aliens, and I just needed one more piece. Then one night I'm sitting up, I'm watching the Bill Maher show. Now he's an atheist, And he had a guest on who was also an atheist, and he was ranting about, a science post that President Obama had, somebody he brought on. And the man happened to be, you know, a Christian and a scientist. And this gentleman thought that he shouldn't be a science minister because, you know, he happens to be Christian or whatever his religion was. And so, you know, he spoke as if this guy was, you know, Dr. Zeus from Planet of the Apes, you know. So, yeah, minister of science, protector of the faith. So I thought that I'd have like a religious theme in a science fiction story. Because, you know, when you look at many science fiction stories, usually if there's anything that has to do with religion, they're usually the bad guy or somebody's being thrown in a volcano or something.
Very true. Very true.
Yeah.
So
yeah, they're the fanatics usually. They're the overzealous ones.
Yeah, religion was always looked at in a bad light in the future, if it was even mentioned at all.
So
that's true.
Do you, now that you're going to put him on the spot, believe that there's like some aliens in this comet that's behind us right now?
Well, I don't know.
I like that you're pointing that way, like you know exactly
behind
where
it's behind us. That's, okay. That's the past. That's the future.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Go ahead.
I do believe there's life out in the universe, whether they're right behind us or not. I don't know. But there's definitely has to be life out there. If there could be life on this little planet here, there's you know, billions of stars, and they have multiple planets around them.
If there's life in a piece of bark from a tree, then there's life everywhere, you know? Like there's life on this planet in the most ridiculously, you know, unpractical places, you know, imaginable. So there has to be life elsewhere.
Has to be.
Has to be.
All right.
Probably just, thankfully, nowhere near. Because they'd probably wipe us out.
Coming in and steal our resources and kill everybody.
Yeah.
That's what I had that's, behind that point.
Yes, that's what's good about the fact that they're far away. But, you know, until we get our defense shield up, we can speculate about them all we want.
So, when you're writing this, they always say to write what you know. And you can't really know about this type of thing. So how do you kind of cheat that little – how do you cheat it? Because you don't really know for sure. But they always say,
unless
right,
he does know.
Or do you know for sure? That should be, do you know? If he knows, he wouldn't be on this show. He'd be on somebody else's show.
He's building up to it.
Well, I don't quite know for sure, but I imagine that they're out there. And it was easy to write about after seeing Star Trek and Babylon 5 and, you know, Firefly. And it helps develop your imagination when you see those type of science fiction shows. You know, in the past, you know, people used to look up at the sky and just see stars. Now, after all these type of shows, these science fiction shows and books, you look up at the stars and you think, maybe there's a possibility of somebody looking back at you.
All right. So when you're writing this book, the characters in the book, are they based on people that you know, or they just completely pulled out of thin air? Like, oh, that's my cousin Abe. He's a replicant that's over in the ground. You know, it's a crazy Uncle Fred is the scientist that wants to kill people. Is that what you did?
Well, yes, kind of. it's always easier to when you're writing, picture somebody. And then you get the picture how that, you know, things that they do, their mannerisms and how they, you know, just stand up and sit down, you know, all these little things that you can take and then put to paper, develop a character.
Is that how you approach? Are you going to be writing another novel after this, or this is?
Oh well, as soon as you start typing your story, takes about 3 years to get published. You know, you have to edit it and then start sending it out to publishers. like 100 of them, and you get lucky if you get one to pick up your story and publish it. And then you got to get in line because they have to publish other books. And then you finally get to yours. So it's about 3 years. So I've already written another one, and I've started a third because you have a lot of time on your hand.
Is it going to be in the same series, or is it just completely new?
It's going to be completely new.
So when you're deciding to write a book for a new subject, what's the reasoning behind it? You're like, oh, well, I did this. I'm done with this stuff, so I'm going to write about something else. Or you just, I'm tired of writing about these people, so I just want to get away from it as far as possible. What's the logic behind that?
Well, I think it's that I have a lot of stories in my head. There's a lot of things I want to get out and get onto paper. And as soon as I finished the Evolution, I just kept going. I just kept writing. And it's fun thinking up a new, you know, universe of characters and you know, giving them life and, you know, having fun with it.
The one thing I've noticed when I was writing, well, trying to write, that because it takes so long, sometimes when you're writing something, somebody else comes up with the idea and you're like, oh, I was gonna do that and now it's no good. as a writer, how do you deal with that?
Oh, I worried about it a lot. Like I mentioned, it took 3 years from when you started. And,
right. So did that happen in those 3 years? Did somebody come up with this great plot twist that's in your book? And like,
there was some that might have been a little similar, but nothing close. I was lucky, but you know, I kept bugging my publisher, please get it out, please get it out. I don't want somebody else to come up with the same idea.
What was the process? So you wrote the book. Right? How long did it take you to finish the book when you sat down to write it?
It took me probably about 4 to 5 months to write it. And then you do like probably about 3 or 4 months of editing.
Did you edit yourself, or you had someone else?
Oh, I had to hire somebody to edit it. I couldn't edit it myself.
Yeah. How was that process? That was
expensive.
Okay.
It was expensive.
So wait, you're paying somebody
and painful
to go through your stuff
to kill your child.
You what's good or what's not? That's like going to the dentist. Like, I'm paying you to hurt me and stab me. Like,
yes.
Is that a good idea?
I'm paying you to rip parts of my body.
Basically,
out.
Yes. Basically, it is a lot of redlining and. Luckily, the editors are usually pretty good. They'll suggest ways to rewrite
to go
it,
around it
or... so that it sounds smoother.
Were you happy with the end result? Well, of course.
No, he's going to be like, no, this was a piece of crap, yeah. And I was glad I fired that editor, and we just got it out.
Well, I don't know. I felt like every word was like... one of my children,
right?
You know, an editor would take, you know, 80,000, you know, 80 to 90,000 words and cut them down to 70,000 words.
Man. So,
and then you I'm sorry. So you had it edited before you found a publisher.
Yes. So, you edit it and then you send it out to a publisher. If they accept it, then they'll edit it as well.
Oh, now the 79,000 is coming down even
further. It's not a leaflet. Instead of a novel, it's
a pamphlet. Yeah,
you hand out.
It's a brochure.
Yeah, they tend to take an awful lot, but you'd have power going back in
and adding it back, or
and adding it back, or adding something back, and rewriting part of it, and. It was an interesting process. I had never gone through this before. I never thought I'd be a writer. I went to school for business, and I just happened to have a couple of professors mention that I wrote well.
Well, there you go.
So it gave me the idea.
School actually did something right. What was that, man?
No, he went for business, and he became a writer.
The teacher said.
Yeah, but you got to understand. He went for a completely different purpose and came out with a totally different career that he went for. So
exactly.
You can't really blame school for that. You can't give them the credit for that.
So now that you've went through the process once and you said you finished your second novel, do you purposely write more than you need, knowing that they're going to be chopping it down? Like, I'm just going to put like an extra character here and make him unlikable so that way they'll get rid of him and leave the
and
rest
leave
of the
this
stuff.
Other stuff yeah. alone.
Do you like try to outthink an editor now?
Well, I try to have it edited as I go now so that I have a better idea of where I need to be. And I've gotten a little bit smarter. Like I said, this is not something that I thought I would ever do. And I seem to be learning as I go.
Isn't that the best way to do it, though? Because, you know, there's the – well, I think it is the classical way, you know, to pay the dues, to do this, to do that, to do that. Or you can learn as you go and kind of it's more of a
– you're always going to be learning as you go. Even if you know for a fact how things work, you're still not going to know firsthand how they're going to feel when they work or, you know, how the process is actually going to be. So it's still a learning experience, regardless of your education level as to the process.
So it's that's a classic street smart versus book smart.
That's not what I meant, but sure. That's a simplified way of doing it.
Yeah,
that's not what I was talking about. But yeah.
I think it's personally, I would say that it's better to mold and shape and continue to grow as you.
That's a philosophy. Then that's how you see things.
That's
then.
Like I said, I see how this. I feel.
Okay,
like
fair enough. is this you now? So you've decided you're going to be a writer.
Yes, I have. I'm having fun at it. I get to open up my mind and think of stories and put them down on paper and have people enjoy them. I had no idea when I first started writing Evolution that anybody other than my wife would be reading it. And then I had a couple of people read it. They thought that I should send it out for publishers.
Oh, yeah, and the rest is history.
That's it.
And you mentioned time travel in the
yes.
book. I love time travel.
Okay.
I do.
I hope we're not going to have this. I hope we're not going to have this Mark Torres time travel discussion. I really do.
We probably are. We're probably going to go down that.
I'm going to just listen then.
Route then.
Good luck. Thank you.
What theory of time travel do you use? Because if you watch all the stuff that I do, there's different types of time travel. There's the 7 days theory, which was based on the show 7 days, which I thought was interesting in the fact that it was the only show that said that the Earth moved in different points in time. So even if you try and travel back 3 days ago, you would be here, but the Earth would be where the meteor is, and you would wind up on the meteor. So that's one aspect that was a new, interesting thing to it. And then, of course, there's the Bill and Ted theory, which I think is the most...
Phone booth?
Yes.
Where you can do it in a phone booth.
Not the phone booth, but...
And then there's the 88 miles per hour theory.
It always that everything that is going to happen, happens. It's just one continuous line. Even the time travel, that's how it was.
Okay.
And at the end of the movie, the first movie, they're like, well, if this happened, this is going to happen, then I'll put the keys here in the future, and the keys will be there. And they were, because it was one line. Or, of course, the Back to the Future, which is that everything is fluid. And then, of course, there's the Terminator line, which is they'll make it up as they go along. So did you decide to take from all different aspects, or did you decide this is the time travel theory I'm going to use in the book and stick with that one?
Well, I didn't have any flux capacitors, so I watched the Science Channel, and Stephen Hawking, he would have a show, and he would spoke about time travel and moving at the speed of light, and I thought that I would stick more towards something like that. In the book, one of my characters is abducted with others and taken and brought to another part of the I guess the galaxy, and by moving at the speed of light, they move at a slower time than somebody here on Earth.
Okay.
So when they came back, they were younger than the people that they left behind.
All right. So that goes to the next part of this whole process. How much science fact is in the science fiction? Like, at what point do you decide, well, I'm going to be researching science fact. This is, you know, this is tachyons, this is a whatever. And then you're like, well, it'd be awesome if this happened, so there'll be sound effects in outer space, but we know it isn't supposed to be sound effects in outer space. But I'm going to put it in it because it's cool. I mean, at what point do you, like, how much fact versus fiction do you decide to use in your novel?
Well, I wanted to stay away from fantasy and stay more towards science fiction and use as much science fact as I could. I did some research about the speed of light and the type of crafts that might be used in the future here, you know, on Earth, and the type of technology that could happen in the future. Since I mentioned before the show that I work in the electronics business, and I see technology before it comes out. And I remember back in the 90s, one of my customers was telling me about this high-definition type of TV. It's like looking outside a window. And I always thought that was fascinating. And trying to think of the type of technology in the future, I tried to stay as grounded as I could, thinking of things that might happen, like I have in the book. One of the characters is shaving, and there's a little TV screen in the mirror that he's able to watch while he's shaving. Little things like that I wanted to add, or a car that you just tell it where to go, and it will drive you to, you know, to the store or to church or something like that.
So you're pretty much sticking to the, I guess, the Blade Runner or Looper type of future where it's pretty much close to where we're at now. It's very plausible to
yes,
get there.
Yes, that's what I tried to do.
A lot of shows we talk about this. Do you think that in the old days, say 60s and 70s, when people wrote science fiction, they came up with these things that were so far out there? But then today, if you write science fiction, you're always kind of, you don't have that same amount of time between where you're at and where you're going. Is there some reason why the creative distance is less now than it was back then? Do you have an opinion on that?
I just think it's because of the technology that we have now. Back then, you know, they didn't have a fax machine. They didn't have, cell phones. But they dreamed about them and they mentioned them in Star Trek. You know, the fax machine was probably used there for the first time. I don't know if we'll have transporters, but there are probably movies where today that they have technology or they dreamed up that in the near future you'll see a hover car someday.
So, you think we're still going to be getting the flying cars?
I don't know if they're flying around like the Jetsons, but maybe something that just...
That's just going to be a disaster. People can't drive on the ground with gravity on their side. It's going to be a disaster. I'm sorry. Yeah, exactly. You need Harrison Ford to get you around in that situation.
What is your favorite science fiction program?
My favorite was Twilight Zone.
And was that because that it had so much different things in one series? Or was it just because you believed that each story was so good on its own?
I think both there. Each story was very good. And you get to see a different universe each week, in black and white, where one episode you had somebody taking bandages off, and beauties in the eye of the beholder, where to us they look normal, right. But to the people there, they looked hideous.
Yeah,
I don't know that one.
That was a big deal one. I remember that one vividly.
Or one of the episodes where a spacecraft landed on a planet and the astronaut found out there was another spacecraft that landed there. And it was a woman and they spoke
they couldn't speak to each other, I think. And it ended up being that that was Adam and Eve, and that was Earth.
I don't remember that one.
No, I missed that one. That's awesome, though. That's fantastic.
Each week, it was a different story that you can just hold on to and picture in the future.
I mean, it's your brain thinking.
Yeah.
And that show, for generally speaking, can hold up against the test of time. And you can watch that. You can watch it now and be like, wow, these concepts and ideas are still pretty relevant. Did you decide to, you wanted to capture that in your writing? You want to try and make it timeless, or you just want to make it like a period piece since it is the future? Are you thinking that maybe when you read this 10 years down the line, like, oh, well, we're here right now. This is happening right now.
Well, I'd love to have some of the technologies in my writing be out and everybody to have. But I tried to write for now because, you know, one of the things that science fiction writers do is take, you know, this story is really a metaphor for something that's happening, you know, in the present. In my story, I'll have some religious folk trying to, you know, regain their flock. Then I have others who you mentioned earlier, you know, they're some crazy, you know, religious fanatics out there, and you know, in this world, you know, people are very passionate about religion. And look, there was a movie that nobody saw that was dubbed horribly that caused riots in the Middle East.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that stuff is powerful. Yeah. Like stories and movies and depictions are very powerful if you give them the respect that they deserve. I follow that. I think that's awesome.
So we got less than 3 minutes to go. So where can people get the book? What's your website? This is the promotion time.
Okay, great.
Which, from your memory.
Okay, from my memory. Don't worry, I won't be reading it. You can go to Amazon.com and type in Evolution and Jim Reilly, and that's R-E-I-L-L-Y. Or you can go to my publisher's website. That's WordTex Press. That's WordTex.com. That's WordTechs.com. Okay. And you can get my book there.
No, I was thinking it was going to be a Tex, as in T-E-X-T. Good thing you spelled it out.
Oh,
good job.
Okay. just to let you know, there's a portion of the sale goes to benefit Long Island Cares, the Harry Chapin Food Bank.
Oh, wow. Look at that. So that's by fantastic. Enjoying yourself by reading this book, you can actually help somebody else. See that? So I'm gonna put you on the spot. If they mention our show, do they get like a discount or something? I gotta put that out there.
No.
I'm not even sure if I get a discount.
I gotta pay full price, and you gotta pay full price
exactly.
Too. So once again, thank you for coming down here.
Thank you for having me.
The book. That about does it for this week on It Came From the Radio. Hassan, you have any final thoughts?
I hope this is not my final thought.
Well, we got two more shows to go before it will be.
One more.
Well, one more.
Yeah. What's the matter with you?
I lost count. That about does it this week on It Came From the Radio. Join us right here every week on WGBD Wednesdays at 9 o'clock. If you miss any portion of this show, you can go online to www.itcamefromradio.com. You can listen to our archives, which will be up in a week or so. We will see you next week.
You have been listening to It Came From the Radio with Mark Torres. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests did not necessarily reflect the views of WGBB, the owners, or staff. And now we return you to your earthly scheduled broadcast.